You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Things are different in parts of Detroit since the bleak days of bankruptcy. Downtown, Midtown, Corktown, they're bustling with new businesses, new restaurants, new places to live, new and largely white. But that progress has yet to make its way to many of Detroit's neighborhoods, older and largely Black. Today, we're looking at two interesting efforts in a West Side Detroit neighborhood, efforts to support the families who live there and help close the gap between these two Detroits. With us today, Sonia Brown. She's known to many as Auntie Nay. She works with the Kresge Foundation and Wayne State University to create a health clinic, food pantry, clothing distribution center, and much more. It's called Auntie Nay's House. It's on Yellowstone Street on Detroit's West Side. Auntie Nay, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Rose Gorman lives and works at the nearby Tuxedo Project. Its motto, one house, one block, one neighborhood. Rose teaches creative writing out of the childhood home of Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Stephen Henderson. Rose, welcome. It's so good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start with you, Rose. Tell us a little of what you do and the aims of the Tuxedo Project.
Put simply, I teach creative writing out of a house. But it's a lot more than that, especially when it comes to the programming in the space. I teach creative writing, but also facilitate reading and discussion groups. And the Tuxedo Project kind of acts as a community center more than a literary center. We house a computer lab. We host neighborhood association meetings. We also have a community library for youth and adults to come and get books. You know, we're kind of more interested in people building up their personal libraries as opposed to rushing back to return books. So we hand out books and a lot more, I hope.
And when you say teaching creative writing, to what ages?
I would say teens and adults. This summer, we kicked off our first youth program where we partnered with the downtown boxing gym. They brought some of their teenagers into our neighborhood from the east side twice a week for about 2 months. We wrote and did activities and read books and learned how to knit.
And Sonia, there's so many things happening at Auntie Nay's house. Break some of that down for us.
Wow. Chaotic. Confusion. Networking all over the place. Multitasking. No, that just sums up what it's like over there on that cornerstone of Yellowstone. But our programs are community base. It started off with just trying to help some of the young mothers in the community with day-to-day living responsibilities, clothes and food. So I started off with just putting free clothes and food out on the corner. It went from that to babysitting. We don't do child care. We don't do daycare. We just babysit some of our babies, mostly so children aren't left at home while parents go run errands. So they're not left in cars while you go take care of things. You've actually got some place where you can bring them and they're watched, they're monitored, they're tend to. It's enough mother hens on that corner to take care of all of our little young chicklings. But that's what we do too. But we teach, we educate, we nurture. We also offer a monthly bazaar so that the communities can come together and learn who's in the neighborhood, get to meet and greet each other. With a lot of apartments and condos coming up, you don't really get to know who your neighbor is anymore. Well, with our monthly bazaars, we offer you the ability to check on your health, to come and get food, to come and get clothing, to allow the children to come out of these apartments and play in a safe area.
And is this all in your, was this your house?
Well, initially everything started off in the home that I grew up in. My grandparents raised me there. I'm now raising my grandchildren there after raising my children there. So when I say I've been generationally embedded on that cornerstone of Yellowstone, my roots are as deep as many of those old trees that still stand there on that cornerstone of Yellowstone.
And briefly tell us about this neighborhood. It's roughly near where I-96 and the Davison Freeway intersect, kind of, so just for folks who are not real familiar with Detroit neighborhoods. But give us a sense of the condition of the neighborhood and who's living there.
To give folks a general idea of what the cornerstone of Yellowstone is, back in the day, the YBI ran everything over in that particular area. The Martindale, the Dexter.
And the YBI.
Young Boys Incorporated. The Dexter area, the Grand River area, the Livernois area, the Davison area.
This would have been in the 70s.
This would have been in the 70s and 80s.
Very big, for those not familiar with that history, a very powerful gang.
Yes, yes, yes. And in fact, a lot of that's coming back to the news and the media now, thanks to White Boy Rick and so on and so forth. Well, growing up over in that area and raising my children over in that area, my grandparents and I withstood against a lot of that in that time. So the roots, I say again, our family roots, our generation roots, a lot of the community members found their way there during my grandparents' area, seeking out food, seeking out help. To find that particular area, as I say, the cornerstone of Yellowstone, which is the cornerstone of a community again, to see it come back where the families were destroyed through that area, to see the housing issue take place, the banks take over. It was once considered an upper middle class area at one point in time. Most of my area now, like a lot of Detroit, is depleted. Abandoned houses, vacant lots, schools closed, like a lot of Detroit.
And a few blocks away on Tuxedo Street, I know Stephen Henderson wrote a lot of deep dive stories about his boyhood home. So now it's renovated. You live there. Mm-hmm. How have the neighbors around Tuxedo Project responded to this house being renovated and you being there providing these services?
Well, I guess first just to go back, my house is renovated, but that's like the only house on the block that's like that.
Exactly.
You know? And so we do kind of stick out like a sore thumb in thinking about how my neighbors are. They're really protective of the space, especially when it comes to me, a newcomer to the city, living there. You know, I was recently out of town, and actually, whenever I go out of town, I get text messages from my neighbors just making sure I'm okay if they don't see me out and about or if my porch light stays on too long.
That unity.
Yeah.
That support, that strength. Yeah. That
is community.
That is community. And a lot of that is lost with these apartments, the high rises, the condos, but in the sense of not being too far from you. Again, you're right there off of Livinois and Tuxedo. Mm-hmm. Jerry's Pizza
Jerry's
on the
is right
corner.
There.
and again, being deeply rooted there, many years there, I myself have watched the changes that have taken place over in there. But that protection, that bond, that security of we are still part of that family net of taking care of each other is a lot of what is fed off as the main veins and arteries off of that cornerstone of Yellowstone. Mm. So I understand what you say in that sense of knowing that family unity there, because it's still there in that area, even though it's few of us still there.
Yeah. And if you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Detroit neighborhood activist Rose Gorman, the resident fellow at the Tuxedo House, where she teaches creative writing, and Sonia Brown, also known as Auntie Nay, and she's the force behind Auntie Nay's House, and both located on Detroit's west side. There is this narrative that I touched on at the beginning, at the top of this, that the neighborhoods in Detroit are not getting enough investment. I'm going to ask you, first of all, Rose, you're the newcomer to Detroit. What do your fresh eyes see as far as that?
That's such a big old question. Well, I think the separation of experiences that people are having, I definitely see that. You know, especially given where I live and then where I do other work outside of the house, you know, via community organizations and Marygrove College. And, you know, this idea of two Detroits is so big. It's a really big deal. You know, some of the programming that I do in Midtown or downtown, you know, my neighbors don't really come to that or even come to, you know, some of my workshops and classes on campus at Marygrove. So when it comes—
Why is that?
Why? Well, I mean, it's something as simple as not having access to transportation. Mm-hmm. It's also something much larger, as in thinking this programming might not be for me. You know, it's not programming that speaks to them like a creative writing class. But I will say, you know, in the programming that happens at 7122 Tuxedo, it is open to everyone. And so that's something that's always in the back of my mind when I think about what I'm opening my door for to the neighborhood, you know, everything from community meetings to just reading and discussion groups. that's like the challenge of the work, right? Because there's this, I spoke with one of your producers earlier about this idea of isolation and access to information, access physically, but then also education-wise, mm-hmm. and exposure to things like 24-hour libraries and healthy eating and the information that comes along with quality of life mm-hmm. issues, I think.
And Auntie Nay, I saw you just kind of shaking your head when Rose described people not feeling that what was happening downtown had anything to do with them, yet it's their city. What do you see needs to happen where they would feel like what's happening downtown is relevant to them?
Well, for the most part, many of us feel displaced. We feel like the city that we once had a place in has displaced us, has left us behind, has not so much as included us as they'd like to think they have with their meetings here and there. You took over a city and you pushed us away, and now you expect us to just openly arm and welcome you back or take us back to what we felt was ours in the first place.
And when you say you, who do you mean?
I mean those of us that have lived in this city, those of us who can say their grandparents helped build this city. I heard you speak about growing up over there. Are you still living in that area?
Yeah, you're right.
But yet they come to you and ask you more about that mm-hmm. area and that mm-hmm. community, and you have more of an input on that community area than I do. We managed over there at Auntie Nay's to purchase 5 homes in that community. Now, yes, it was thanks to the Kresge grant, true enough. But it was thanks to the dedication of folks that I reached out to outside of my community area to come aboard and help me inside of my community area. Even though the members of my community are the ones that benefit from the programs that Auntie Nay's house offers. It was hard to get them to believe that they had a right to invest into their own communities, that they had a right to actually be a part of what was going on over there. So the monthly bazaars that we host give them the ability to do just that, feel like they have a right to what's there.
Can I ask a question? Because, you know, as it's interesting that you called me a community activist, and, you know, I'm new, whereas Auntie Nay has been here forever. And I'm curious, you know, speaking as a, asking you as a community organizer, how do you create space for your neighbors outside of their neighborhood? Like, how do you, rather than just keep, like, the monthly bazaars and everything that your organization does, how do you encourage your neighbors to take ownership of the city as a whole?
By going and getting them and taking them.
And you take them, yes. I was wondering if it was that simple because...
No, it's not. Because sometimes I get the excuse that we can't find this to wear, we don't have that.
It's a process.
It's a process, and it is. Yeah. And it's like pulling two. It's like pulling a tooth.
Yeah.
One by one by one. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I find that by just meeting the day-to-day need of what they're requiring, not pushing what the city is requiring, not pushing what CPS is requiring, mm-hmm. but just pushing that I'm here.
For what you need.
For what you need.
And mm-hmm. what actually happens in these monthly bazaars at Auntie Nay's house? What do you do and what do people find when they come?
They find that they're not alone in the suffering.
So they come together and what do you have, a barbecue?
We barbecue, yeah. We have bounce houses, we have DJs, we have face painting.
We have
monthly parties. But here's what we get from that. We get to get your blood pressure. We get to get your glucose. We get to see if you are right with your health. We get to find out if you need extra help with getting utilities paid. Mm-hmm. We get to get you a recycling bin if your neighbor got one and you want one. Mm-hmm. We get to find out if the kids need extra uniforms or school supplies. We get to find out what it is we can help you do to help you. And with that, you come because you know you need it mm-hmm. and we're willing to give it. And it's not anybody's business but yours and Auntie Nay's.
Do you both see a point where the two Detroits, this midtown Corktown, downtown, largely white Detroit, and the older black neighborhoods will come together as one Detroit?
Have you seen Redford and Detroit come together?
Tell me what you mean by that.
Don't you still see the separation in that? You hear folks from Detroit still say they won't go out to Radford. You hear them still say that they won't go to Centerline. They won't drive here. They won't drive there. That difference is there. And the only way to put a stop to that difference is what we're doing now. I'm bringing in Wayne State students from different economic backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds. You've got two African-American young ladies sitting here from the same community, the same areas, working on basically the same projects. But you who once lived in this area are discussing an area that has changed. When is the last time you've been a part of that change? And if and we want to bring that together, that's how we've got to come together to do that.
Can you talk more about your experiences in bringing in Wayne State students? Because one of the challenges that I face on Tuxedo Street is the attention that we get from the outside, but by way of charity. Like, we have lots of schools and lots of students and lots of volunteers who want to come and do charity work and get some service hours, and then they leave.
The way they come to Gleaners.
There's no sustainability there with that. So what I have found is that it's not the sustainability I'm looking for. If I find in you what you're dedicated to over on that cornerstone of Yellowstone, don't come to me to ask me what you can do for me. I want you to come and do what you can do for the cornerstone of Yellowstone.
So do you find that that's like the students that do engage with Antinaes, is that, does it have a lasting impact?
If I allow those, their heart to be what they're working from in the programs over there, they're putting that part of them in that. They're planting a seed of them in that. And that is what they come back to nurture. That is what they come back to apply again.
They do come back.
They do come back.
Okay.
And it's not just my Wayne State students. I mean, this initially started with Oberlin students. Imagine, all the way from Ohio.
I know, Oberlin?
Exactly. And they were coming
not
back.
Not to generalize, but.
Oh, yes, they were coming back, and they were dedicating themselves. In fact, Auntie Nay's house caught fire in 2014. We lost everything. I thought we were done. And I grew up in this home now, but the community came together. The Oberlin students came. I watched my babies, I mean little ones, come up with hammers trying to fix
That's
up
amazing.
And build up because it was theirs. It belonged to them. And they refused to lose that. I watched the babies help work these community the community garden over there. And they swear, they know that's their tomato plant, their cucumber plant. They planted that seed. It's letting them love them enough to do what they do in that area. And that's what brings everyone back.
And that's the kind of thing that, as we were talking about, will begin to close the gaps between
yes,
them.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but we could talk to you two all day with your great energy and your great ideas. Rose Gorman, resident fellow at the Tuxedo House, and Sonia Brown, Auntie Nay, the force behind Auntie Nay's house. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us on Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm honored.